What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
It's Friday! Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. For those of you getting ready to start your Labor Day weekend, I hope you have a safe, happy, and wonderful one with the ones you love. So last night, America, they sat and they listened to one of the most dangerous political speeches given by a sitting president in recent history. Perhaps I'd even argue the entire history. Joe Biden, he deliberately and irresponsibly branded anyone who disagrees with his party as a threat to this nation. A threat to democracy. It was so bad that even the drive-by media had to stop and take notice of the rhetoric that was presented to the American people with one of the most ominous political backdrops imaginable. Members of the U.S. military. Blood red lighting. Really weird if you think about it. So tonight we're actually going to discuss Biden's speech that he calls the soul of a nation. We're going to explore why this speech is so dangerous for roughly half of the American population. People paying attention, and friends, that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to cover it. So, hey, if you're in the market for social media, looking for something to follow, someone to follow, hey, right there on Facebook at the Philip D. Blackman Show is our program. Same thing over at YouTube, youtube.com/C/TheFilipDBlackmanShow. We're live on Twitter and Twitch at ThePDBShow, as well as on LinkedIn for all of my listeners. Guys, thank you for joining me. So guys, look, hey, if you want to participate in the show in any way, comment through social media, they're great, pretty good options. We can put your comment on the chat and we can allow you to engage with our audience. Or you can call or text the number to our show at 409-245-9753. I'll forget all my listeners across the nation around the airwaves. That is 409-245-9753. So again, to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, thank you so much for joining me this Friday's edition of the Philip D. Blackman Show, episode number 283, The Soul of a Nation. For my first-time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is a way that we honor our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 639 officers die in the line of duty, and as of this show, we've lost 169. We support our law enforcement. We appreciate the decision to step into the thankless job because, you know, it's still chic. It's still hip to really hate our law enforcement. We agree that when a police officer is killed, not just an agency that loses an officer, it is an entire nation. And so, friends, we honor all of our officers who serve and who've given their life in service to their community and service to their country. And we highlight a different officer every week, beginning with that Monday show. This week, friends, we're going to wrap up our week honoring Pima County, Arizona's Constable's Office, Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay, in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay, 43, of the Pima County Constable's Office in Arizona, who was shot and killed on August 25th, 2022, while serving an eviction notice at an apartment complex. Constable Martinez Garibay served her department for just 5 short months. She also spent 16 years in the United States Army and ran the Tucson chapter of an adaptive golf program for veterans called PGA Hope. When asked in a March interview by the Star why she wanted to join Pima County Constable's office, she said, "I just felt it was wrong for me to sit at home when I knew that I could contribute. I knew that I had to go serve my country, and it's the same thing with serving my community. I can see a need. For me to sit and watch things happening in my community or my country and not take part is wrong." Constable Marthina Scarabay is survived by her husband, daughter, parents, siblings, and numerous nieces and nephews. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Constable Marthina Scarabay. Pima County, Arizona Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay. End of watch, August 25th, 2022. Rest in peace, ma'am.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Presenting the Best of Biden Collection, now on home video. Now you can enjoy all your favorite wacky moments from America's senile old granddad.
Well, you know, gay bathhouses and everything. It's all about round-the-clock sex. It's all, come on, man.
Including sniffing a baby. Awkward hugs. Numbers are hard.
Go to Joe 30330.
Corn Pop.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Racism.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black. Uh-oh.
Stupid troops.
Clap for that, you stupid bastards. You stupid bastards. You stupid bastards.
Blank Stare. Blank Stare Part 2. Chris is Chuck.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, anyway.
I just did Chris.
And many more.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone, make sure the kids hear word.
But wait, call within the next 10 minutes and receive a free copy of Kamala's Kooky Cackles. That's right. 6 full hours of ear-piercing cackles that the whole family can enjoy. Here's how to order.
All right, you know, if you just woke up from we'll call it a 2-year coma, and you heard the very first speech from President Joe Biden last night, you might have actually caught something pretty unique. I don't know how many of you guys caught it, but I certainly did. I really believe that if it was Donald Trump who gave the exact same speech, and you changed it from MAGA Republicans to the Socialist Democrats, I really, truly believe the speech would still be applicable. You know, what I'm getting at is something that we've said numerous times on this show, that the Democratic Party, when they accuse the other side of doing something, chances are it's exactly what they're doing. You know, the right is called racist while the Democratic Party promotes segregation. They state all of the things that they believe the black voters are just too stupid to accomplish, like, I don't know, use the internet. That's a big one. Or they're too incompetent to get a government-issued ID. According to Joe Biden, black people don't have lawyers and accountants. You know, the right is accused of usurping the Constitution while the Democratic Party is enforcing executive privilege on elements that the courts have already deemed as unconstitutional. This administration is so busy talking about what black people don't have that truly they have shown no interest in rectifying the problem, because then if you fix the problem, you no longer have the existential threat if it's taken care of. How many of you guys last night watched Joe Biden's Soul of a Nation speech? Or I didn't watch it last night, but I watched it this morning. And if you haven't watched it, I'm encouraging you. Take 26 minutes out of your day, today, tomorrow, but you need to watch it. You need to absorb everything that's said and you need to pay attention. Because last night, Joe Biden just told you what he thinks of you. And if you don't get in line and you don't walk in lockstep, he gives you an idea of how you're going to be classified. You are a domestic terrorist if you disagree with any of his or his party's narrative. And don't you dare even speak against the regime known as the administration. Now, of course, look, I get it. I know what I'm doing. I'm oversimplifying this. And there's a possibility that I'm probably projecting, you know, what is to come versus what really is for right now. Less than 4 minutes into Joe Biden's Soul of the Nation speech, he made the intent known to those who are willing to listen. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are a domestic terrorist group who embraces extreme ideology. Now, although not every Republican is a MAGA Republican, he says, there's no question that the Republican Party is dominated. It's driven and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans that is a threat to this country.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
Did you catch that? And Tammy hits it right there. That's not divisive at all. Did you catch the double talk? I mean, that not even a majority of Republicans are MAGA Republicans, but in the very next sentence, there's no question the Republican Party today is dominated by the MAGA Republicans. What? Oh, okay. So I get it. So let me see if I can try to weed through some of that. So what you're saying is that Republicans are a threat to this country, which means that unless you really submit to the will of the Democratic Party and you bend your knee in servitude, you are a threat to this country. Never before has a president given a primetime address to the nation with this backdrop that's reminiscent of 1930s authoritarian state to demonize half of the country. We had this blood-red lighting and two shadowy Marines who were flanking President Joe Biden last night, which is Thursday night, and the message was very clear. Unity can only exist through submission. You know, the president's job is to preserve, to protect, to defend the Constitution and our way of life. Now, given that solemn oath, what happens when the president and his administration view nearly half of the country as threats to democracy, intent on destroying democracy, and to usher in an era of semi-fascism, as he said earlier this week? If the president and his team truly believes that MAGA, that which is Make America Great Again, that MAGA and anyone who subscribes to the American First policies represents an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic, how long will it be before the president officially declares tens of millions of Americans as domestic terrorists? When is that going to happen? You know, Joe Biden's speech, it was dark, it was gloomy, it was filled with contradictions, you know, like the one I just showed, you know, the one I just showed you, right? Not all Republicans are MAGA Republicans, but a great majority are MAGA Republicans. Make up your mind, Joe. This speech is solely was not intended to unite Americans, nor was it meant to win over any new voters. And anyone that wants to suggest that, oh, this is just this is midterm rhetoric, don't dismiss what you're hearing. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. While the president stated that he will not let anything tear us apart, the speech was intended to do just that, by instilling fear, by targeting his political opposition. Everyone should pay attention, because the administration, they're not just targeting MAGA Republicans. They're targeting Republicans and independents and libertarians and disaffected Democrats who support the former president's policies. We're talking about Donald Trump, because that was kind of the gist of his whole speech. The speech allegedly, you know, they suggested that it was full of unity and togetherness to make America great. But I argue that it's only if you believe that in the unity for your side and to hell with everyone else. You know, while I read the transcript, you know, while watching the speech this morning, I wanted to go over some of the key points of his speech in this segment, The Breakdown. Stick around. Okay, so for a speech that mentioned MAGA 13 times, Donald Trump mentioned him 3 times, and of course mentioned violence 10 times out of an entire 25-minute speech, round up to 26. And then you couple that with a backdrop of using military members in a political rally, this speech was anything but unifying. As a matter of fact, the argument could be made, you know, during his speech was just the opposite. It was divisive and alienating literally half of the American population. Last night, Joe Biden, this was his basket of deplorables moment. And the media, for the most part, they're very happy with the result. You know, I suppose as typical with a state-run media, where there is a unifying talking point that's being parroted by this drive-by media. They say that Joe Biden stood his ground last night and he finally called out those violent terrorists of the Republican Party. Remember, the Democratic Party basically tried to label everyone who's a Trump supporter as a white supremacist and a Nazi. Here's Joe Biden saying that MAGA Republicans only believe in winning or being cheated. They only love their country when they win.
We can't let the integrity of our elections be undermined. For that is a path to chaos. Look, I know politics can be fierce and mean and nasty in America. I get it. I believe in the give and take of politics, in disagreement and debate and dissent. We're a big, complicated country. But democracy endures only if we, the people, respect the guardrails of the republic. Only if we, the people, accept the results of free and fair elections. Only if we, the people, see politics not as total war, but mediation of our differences. Democracy cannot survive when one side believes there are only 2 outcomes to an election. Either they win or they were cheated. And that's where the MAGA Republicans are today. They don't understand what every patriotic American knows. You can't love your country only when you win.
Calling Stacey Abrams, you're wanted in the Oval Office. So Joe Biden can tell you that you cannot embrace a victory only when you win. It's also when you lose too. And Tammy hits it right here in the chat. She says, I thought that he said that he would represent all Americans. Isn't that what he ran on? And transparency? That's the laughable idea right there, Tammy, that we are going to be lectured about questioning the 2020 election when Democrats spent the entire first term of Donald Trump's presidency arguing that he was an illegitimate president, that he did not deserve to be in office because of this thing called Russia collusion. The fact that we would be in a position where when you look at the 2020 election, just in the past couple of weeks, we've heard Mark Zuckerberg come out and say that the FBI briefed us. They told us that they were going to be Russian disinformation elements out there, and that's why he said that we did not, as Facebook, we did not allow the Hunter Biden laptop story to be shared because FBI briefed them. And the thing is, we don't even know all of the details about that particular briefing, but what we do know is the current White House did everything they could. They had 51 national security advisors claim that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russia disinformation. We know that the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop, and we knew that this story was being worked on with the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal, and somehow they were going to be involved as well. And so they preemptively went out and they rigged what the media was going to be able to say about Hunter Biden when all the data that we have right now that reflects that if that Hunter Biden story had been widely shared, irrespective of all other cheating, that Donald Trump would most likely still be in office. So the idea that you're going to lecture us on democracy and how you can't question the outcome of election within basically the same month that your Justice Department raided the private residence of your chief political rival, Donald Trump, something that's never occurred before in American history, and you're going to be out here lecturing us on the sanctity of democracy. Bitch, please. Biden and his advisors, you know, they brought this idea that if Joe Biden is not in office, that America's going to collapse. And that was the point of last night's speech. But the interesting question that I'd really like to pose to anyone who hates Donald Trump, and look, I've been very critical of a lot of the things Donald Trump has done, because we know that there's a lot of people who are very critical of Donald Trump, and right, that is your right to be so, and I appreciate that. And for years, I've been asking people that, you know, that have this notion, that have this argument, hey, come on my show, call my show, and let's talk about it. I want to hear what you think it is that Donald Trump did that was so bad as a president. With all the name-calling and the performance art that we're seeing from the political left and Joe Biden, I have not heard one single thing that he allegedly did while he was in office that was so bad for America. You know, surpassing Russia and Saudi Arabia to become the world's largest producer of crude oil versus now being dependent on those same countries, is that what he did? Maybe the bad thing that he did was he was a bad president because the lowest 25% paid, the lowest paid Americans, they enjoyed a 4.5% income boost. On the economic side, maybe Donald Trump is such a bad guy because he didn't care about our economy when he signed the Save Our Seas Act, which, you know, funds about $10 million a year to clean up tons of plastic and garbage from the ocean. Or maybe it was the low unemployment rate and the lowest unemployment rate for Black Americans, period. That maybe that's what makes Donald Trump such a bad person. Yeah, I'm not sure because I can't get anyone to come on my show. I can't get anyone to debate me on this matter. They can argue the substance. They only argue the headlines. But this is not a pro-Trump show or even a pro-Trump segment, so I want to get back to the speech of last night. I have said time and time again that when a member of the Democratic Party accuses you of doing something, chances are, as history has dictated, they are guilty of doing it themselves. So this right here, this is Joe Biden reading what his handlers have told him to read as he continues his attack on what he calls the MAGA forces.
MAGA forces promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute. Wait. You might say to yourself, wait, hold up. MAGA forces are the ones who's fanning the flames of the political violence that are a threat to our personal rights. The MAGA forces are the ones who has a pursuit of justice and who fans the flames of the pursuit of justice and who fans the flames of the rule of law. That MAGA forces are the ones right there who's calling for civil unrest when they don't get their way. That is the stance of this administration? Are you kidding me?
I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Isn't that something? They're saying that it's the MAGA forces, but here we are. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is our current vice president. Before she was elected, mind you, this is what I'm saying, that they shouldn't stop, and they won't stop, no matter what. But yet, it's the MAGA Republicans. Are you kidding me? Tammy hits a good point. She says, they say not to live in the past, but isn't that what they're doing every time they bring up Donald Trump, every time they shove January 6th down our throats? I agree, Tammy. Donald Trump has not been our president for a while, but yet that's all we seem to be talking about. So Fields Rule 11789 says he's listening to the drive home. Happy Friday. Happy three-day weekend. Thank you so much for joining us, and I appreciate you you weighing in and being a part of our show. You know, but the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very interesting point, because as a human being, look, I get it. I know that my memory isn't so good, and I have the ability, like most people, I guess, to create the idea that really aligns with my personal beliefs. You know, and I would bet my livelihood that it probably happens, although the reality may not make it so. Unfortunately, the internet, it does have an unlimited memory to aid in discussions such as this. So you naysayers out there who don't believe what Joe Biden is telling you. You know, I did. I did what any good researcher would do, and I went out and I found video proof of the forces that are out there that are promoting political violence. So I know I have a couple people who are driving right now. Look, make sure your seatbelt's on. You might want to slow down. Drive with two hands. Embrace yourselves for this moment of shock. This is a video package that can be quite disturbing to those who are not prepared to see it. Who are the ones who are the driving forces of the violence? If I only had a video.
The unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
You got to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face. I
feel like punching him.
I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If you're in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
No, I will go and take Trump out tonight. Take him out now.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
People will do what they do.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
We're going to go in there. We're going to...
Well, this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. And for those of you who are soldiers, make them pay.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
And there's more.
I promise to fight every single day. One, I'm a fighter and I...
Wow. I mean, I don't really recall ever hearing this type of language being called out by anyone. So Fields jumps in. He writes in the chat, you like how the Biden administration is blaming Trump for schools remaining closed? That's the joke of all this, right? So we hear this impassioned 25-minute speech about really Donald Trump. I mean, and how evil Donald Trump is, and how evil his voters are. But yet they tend to pass the buck and redefine everything that's happening. And you're right, absolutely. They're giving Trump the credit for all the stuff that they did. Roxanne Kirby says in the chat, Joe Biden and his handlers are the biggest threats to America. Well, not if you listened last night, because it's the MAGA Republicans. Tammy says they seem like a bunch of well-rounded folks, or well-rounded people. Absolutely. Frank Graybars, hey, everyone stuck in traffic in a bad thunderstorm, but got the show on. Frank, thank you guys so much. All of you guys, thank you so much. So we're covering the speech of last night. You know, this idea about the MAGA forces are the ones who's guilty of all this bad stuff that's going on, but... that's not what history is showing. The one clip, the one video that I've been able to find that shows your right-wing guys out there destroying stuff, of course, is the January 6th riot, which is, has, and always will be the wrong answer. This should have never happened, and it should be smashed home every day of the week and twice on Sundays. That is not how we handle business. But there was a grievance to be filed. Not making excuses, but the end result is when you say that there's all of this civil unrest and all these forces who are driving political divide and resentment. Show me if it exists. I'm interested. I'm a student of life, ladies and gentlemen. Send me the videos. I'm very interested to see where they are. But moving on, Joe actually gave us the very first part of his speech. He gave us a choice, a very specific choice last night when he said that, quote, "I believe America is an inflection point, one of those moments that determine the shape of everything that's to come after. And now America must choose to move forward or move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear and darkness," end quote. You know, I understand what he's saying. You know, do you want a future? Find a new candidate, or how dare you even consider the idea of electing Donald Trump? That's going back to the past, and that's not something we need, right? But, you know, obsessing about the past, as Tammy had pointed out, that's the point that really jumped out at me, since all this administration is doing, obsessing over the past administration. You know, that's particularly funny coming from a man who had to name drop his predecessor less than 5 minutes into his speech. The Democratic Party, they impeached the president after he left office. They've constantly sought his tax returns after he left office in the name of transparency. And they've investigated Donald Trump and his supporters more than 21 months since he's been out of office. And they have even considered investigating any wrongdoing of this administration that has actually cost lives of our own frontline workers and nursing home victims, you know, because, you know, we got to remember, we got to protect our own Emmy Award winning Andrew the Love Gov Cuomo. Whatever happened to that investigation, since we are in the business of assessing about the past? You know, look, I could keep going on with this point, but I've only got a finite amount of time. But the irony that I'm pointing out is another example, I guess, of the Hippocratic nature. That Republicans are obsessing over the past. That's coming from the party who doesn't know how to live anywhere else. But then Joe goes on to say that, quote, "Throughout our history, Americans have made the greatest progress coming out of some of our darkest moments." Like you're hearing on the bullhorn. He was talking about somebody out there in the audience who was on a bullhorn and chanting F Joe Biden, which was hysterical to hear on primetime television. But he goes on to say that, "I believe that we can and must do that again. MAGA Republicans look at Americans and they see carnage and darkness and despair. They spread fear and lies, both for profit and for power." Well, okay, so if Republicans are looking at America, and they see carnage, darkness, and despair, I guess it's because they're stuck on 2020 with all of the riots, and 2021, the statues being torn down. Yeah, okay, sure. Yes, that is talking about carnage, darkness, and despair, because this administration and even the Democratic Party wasn't doing anything but promoting more outrage, more rage, more violence, more protest, as you heard earlier in our video with Kamala Harris. But more importantly, I guess the question is, especially when he talks about they spread fear and lies. Lies for both power and profit. So let me pose a couple of questions. These are rhetorical. I know you guys probably already know the answer, but what lies are you talking about, Joe? I mean, do you mean the one where America had no real plan to vaccinate most of the country when you took office? That lie? Or are you talking about where you said the pandemic, we are in a pandemic of the unvaccinated? Or how about the lie where you said that if you get vaxxed, you're not going to get infected? This is coming from a guy who's gotten every shot known, but yet he's had COVID, I think, two for sure, but I want to say three times total. So I wonder if he's talking about the lie about if you get your vaccine, you can take off your mask. Or how about the lie that kids have to stay home to stop the spread? Ooh, how about this one? The virus, the coronavirus, it come from bat soup. Does anybody want to talk about 15 days to slow the spread? Anybody want to talk about how nine millimeter bullets can blow a lung out of a body? Or how an AR-15 bullet travels five times the speed of any other bullet? Or maybe the one that he continues to go over about how you couldn't have a cannon back in the day, you know, at the beginning of our nation's founding. Maybe the lie he's referring to is when it was said that Donald Trump said there was good people on both sides in Charlotte. Or maybe you mean about the lie about it's Russia's fault that we're combating inflation. Maybe. Maybe you're only talking about the election integrity lies. Everyone else lies but you. What a narcissist. What an asshole. So in our comments, we got Laura Harlow. Welcome to the chat, ma'am. Good to see you. And again, to all of you guys, 409-245-9753 if you want to join the conversation. Episode number 283, The Soul of a Nation. We're troubleshooting Joe Biden's speech last night that was, you know, to say the least, it was a little alarming. You know, Joe Biden, he went on to talk about how his administration passed the biggest infrastructure bill since President Dwight D. Eisenhower. But he failed to mention how only out of $621 billion of the $200 trillion infrastructure bill actually goes to the infrastructure, meaning about $1.379 trillion of the bill, it goes somewhere else. But yeah, you passed the largest. He says right here, we passed the biggest infrastructure investment since Dwight D. Eisenhower. Yeah, you did. But where did that money go? Roughly three quarters of that money is going everywhere else but infrastructure. So get out of here with that shit. Then he goes on to talk about gun safety. He's got you there too. Now, I believe that, you know, he says, I believe we can make America safer. We passed the most significant gun safety laws since President Clinton. But what he won't tell you is that most of that word salad in that bill, it really adds nothing of benefit to make the country safer. Most of the language in that gun bill that he's so proudly of, the laws are already on the books with the exception of funding for red flag laws, which I suppose is what he's saying when he believes is going to make America safer for the Democratic Party. Now, of course, an unarmed citizenry is always safer for the Democratic Party, because when a group with guns goes after a group without guns, it's not really hard to imagine which side's going to win. But this one right here blew me away. It has a lot of people scratching their heads. Did you hear this line?
We're going to end cancer, to end cancer, to end cancer, to end cancer as we know it. Mark my words. We're going to end cancer as we know it. Mark my words.
Joe Biden said he wants you to mark his words. Take it to the bank. He is going to end cancer.
We're going to end cancer as we know it. Mark my words.
Now, wow. I mean, if you believe any of that, if anybody out there seriously believes that Joe Biden is going to cure cancer, then I suppose the argument could be made that he let his son, Bo, that he always likes to talk about, he let his son die of cancer. He let it happen. And he only did so because it's a political move, since he has the ability to end cancer. I mean, there doesn't really seem to be any other explanation for it. If he has the ability, then Bo Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., died of cancer for a political answer. But if you've been paying any attention to Joe Biden, this is not the first time that he suggested he had this power.
If I'm elected president, you're going to see the single most important thing that changes America is we're going to cure cancer.
That was when he was running for president. He said that the biggest change you're going to see is that we cure cancer. Now, as campaign promises go, the ambition of this one, it really overlooks a lot of the complexities of the disease of cancer. Like, for example, I don't know, the fact that cancer is actually more than 100 different diseases, and therefore it's not likely treatable with a single cure-all. But with a straight face, he and this administration are going to tell you that COVID and all of its variants, they're here to stay but in our lives. But cancer? Yeah, he's got that one licked. Man, what an asshole. But before he wrapped up his political rally, because that's what it was. It wasn't a speech. It was a political rally. He took just one more shot at the hecklers who successfully chanted during primetime speech, F Joe Biden. Listen to this.
Look, our democracy isn't perfect. It always has been. notwithstanding those folks you hear on the other side there. They're entitled to be outrageous. This is a democracy. But history and common sense. Good manners is nothing they've ever suffered from.
You know, he once called Donald Trump a bully because he picked on, he attacked his political rivals. And he did. And Donald Trump was a bully for it. But yet, Joseph Biden has been doing this his entire political career. But all that's just Joe, right? We got to give him a pass. And Tammy brings up a good point. Hey, that's an interesting backdrop that he chose. And you know, we talked about the cure for cancer. Roxanne Kirby says it's all in their pockets. And if he wants to cure anything, as Tammy says, he needs to cure dementia. Because she goes on to opine that there is no money to be made to cure cancer, ladies and gentlemen, but that is a bold-ass claim. Not only did he say it when he was running for president, but he said it last night while he's been in office. COVID, we got to stick around, but cancer is what it is. This is the same president who once called his predecessor. Again, he called him a bully. And like I said earlier, Joe Biden, the Democratic machine, they are always going to be exactly what they accuse their opponents of. And I've read numerous articles today, you know, this morning, you know, laughing and poking fun at the targets that Joe Biden has set his sights on. Republicans, MAGA Republicans, to be more specific, and that's fine. Look, I understand. You know, you want to call them crybabies and other names. Sure, get after it, man. Call whatever names you want. Because I understand, look, it's always fun to be on the winning side of power because you can pretty much do and say whatever you want because who's going to stop you? I mean, if you remember when Trump was in power, the left, we called them snowflakes. So I understand the familiar territory we're in. You know, I don't care about the name calling, but I do care about the hypocrisy from both sides of the aisle. You know, last night was perhaps one of the most dangerous speeches that I've ever seen an American politician give, and that's not just hyperbole. Last night, Joe Biden told America that anyone who disagrees with him is a threat to this country. Now, mind you, the optics of a blood-red background with the military as your backdrop, that's kind of akin to the days of a dictatorship in other countries calling Adolf Hitler. I mean, using the military as his backdrop, that is hands down illegal. Since members of the military, they're not allowed to participate in partisan political rallies while in uniform, and that's exactly what last night was. It was a partisan political rally. It's not just what he said last night, it's also what he didn't say, if you know what I mean. But Biden, he painted this picture of those people who disagree with him or his party's political agenda. They are a threat to his democracy. So, friends, the battle lines have been drawn, and now we know the stakes. If being a threat to democracy means standing up to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, standing up against a tyrannical government who's actively seeking to silence dissent, then goddammit, I guess I'm a threat to democracy. Since in the pure democracy that we have, the laws are made directly by the voting majority, or what they say is the majority, and it leaves the rights of the minority, those of us who are not in the political power, those damn Republicans, largely unprotected. You know, I'd much rather live in a constitutional republic where the laws are made by our chosen representative who has the duty, and they're held to that duty, to comply with the U.S. Constitution, where the rights of the minority, they're just as protected as the rights of the majority. And that's the breakdown. Guys, I want to take a quick break before we jump into this next segment. Stick around for 60 seconds. Try to present a commercial to lighten the load just a little bit. man, this is going to be a good one. Guys, stick around.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really, Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Mr. Really, Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Arms swinging, knees bending, head bobbing to no particular rhythm. You're either dancing or you have fleas.
Call me the doctor.
As soon as you hit the dance floor, the taunts begin. Is that all you got, playa? Unfortunately, yes, that's all you got.
Pour it on now.
Who's in the house? Some guy who can't dance. That's who's in the house.
Your style.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Happy Feet, because you really put the boogie in boogie.
Mr. Really, Really Bad Dancer.
All right, for you guys who are not watching the live broadcast, of course, that commercial, it's always fun to listen to the commercial, but the video that we paired with it, you know, look, I'm not a dancer. I can barely do the hokey pokey, and that comes with directions. Maybe the bunny hop, but I'm not understanding the move that Donald Trump has in the video you just saw. It's unbelievable. But, hey, like I said, just to lighten the mood a little bit, because Tammy has it right here. She says, they're letting us know that we're being threatened. That's how I take it. Fall in line or we're going to make life hard. Well, you know, Tammy, and to the rest of you reader, or listeners out there, 409-245-9753, episode number 283, The Soul of the Nation is the name of the show. So there's this, if you've been following this administration closely, then there's no way in hell that you're going to be caught by surprise last night's speech, because this has been coming since Biden was sworn into office January of 21. To be more specific, in June of 2021, just a couple months after he got in, the administration released this document right here. This document is called the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. Now, unfortunately, this document right here, it went completely ignored by most media outlets, including conservative organizations like Fox News. This is a document that's put out by the White House, Joe Biden's signature on, and it's filled with this vague terminology where anyone, that pretty much anyone who expresses what the Biden administration deems is anti-government, anti-authority sentiment, they have the potential to be labeled as a domestic violent extremist. So the point is, I guess, for those who believe this document is really not designed to target political opposition, look at the dangerous progression since this document was released. In September 2021, this is what's happened since this document was released in June of 21. In September 21, the Education Secretary Miguel Cardona is his name. He encouraged the National Scoreboard Association to write their now infamous letter requesting that parents be investigated for complaining about mask mandates and critical race theory. 5 days later, Attorney General Merrick Garland, he issued a Department of Justice memorandum doing exactly that. Now, the Attorney General, he denied that this would target ordinary parents simply raising concerns and that it would only be reserved for actual threats, but that's not true. The DOJ whistleblowers, they actually contradict Garland's claims that the FBI created a new threat tag system and opened dozens of investigations into parents. Anyone familiar with the national strategy of countering domestic terrorism, they shouldn't be surprised. In Pillar 4, let me see if I can get to it while we're at. In Pillar 4, it actually lays out that one of the ways to combat domestic terrorism over the long term is by introducing critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs throughout the education and curriculums. It's right there. Under this national strategy, it would make sense that really those who are opposed to these programs should be considered potential threats. 3 months later, January of 2022, the DOJ announced the creation of this specialized domestic terrorism unit. And to this very day, very little is known about what this specialized unit does or even why it's necessary, given the extraordinary powers that have already been granted to the government to combat international and domestic terrorism since 9/11. Just this April 2022, the DHS Secretary Mayorkas, he announced the newly created Disinformation Governance Board. That should have never been leaked out, but it was. And once it was done and it received numerous, enormous pushback, the DOJ put the program on hiatus. Actually, their words are, we paused the program. Now, last week, they announced that the idea has been officially terminated. But don't be surprised if this is a rebranded, repackaged under some other obscure name that sounds less threatening. Remember, former Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she admitted that the White House flags that what they consider misinformation. The White House is the one who flags it. A month later, May of 22, Biden came out accusing his political opponents of belonging to the most extreme political organization in history, recent American history, he says. The extremist label, it was intentional. And it's no coincidence that the words extremist and extremism appear 27 times in this document. This is the part of a sustained campaign to brand political opposition as domestic terrorist. Last night was his first shot fired from the bow. At the beginning of last month, the FBI made that unprecedented decision to raid the home of a former president. Now, look, while there's still a whole lot that we don't know, there's a lot of critics of the FBI. They remain skeptical of this raid, you know, given the increasing political weaponization we've been seeing since 2016. Actually, before that, we'll call it 2010. But according to Garland's 2.5-minute statement on the raid, because he wanted to make sure he got all the information out, which by his admission was none, no one is allowed to question the professionalism and the integrity of the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Out of an entire 2 years that we've been hearing about defund the police, well, I guess the FBI don't technically fall in line as the police because they're the federal government's militia. But last week, Joe Biden, he dubbed the former president and everyone who supports him as a threat to our very democracy. He did the same thing last night. At a closed-door fundraiser, Joe Biden even took it further and accused anyone who supports the former president of his policies of embracing political violence and semi-fascism. I'm not sure what that is. That's like being almost pregnant. You either are or you are not. And this administration, they have some fascist tendencies. But as at that campaign rally earlier this week, Biden warned that brave right-wing Americans, he warned them that they're going to need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun to take down this government. Well, it's easy to make that argument when you will never, ever step foot out in the out in your country to challenge your citizenry. I mean, what kind of president threatens F-15s on their own population? I mean, it's not just the president who simply reads the script or even his administration. The allies in the media constantly use words like purge and re-educate and eradicate and deprogram when they're talking about Republicans and Trump supporters. Senior leaders within the bureaucracy, the self-appointed guardians of democracy, they continue to abuse power by pushing the ideology over public service. And this is a coordinated and sustained campaign to portray political opposition as an existential threat to enemies of the state. And I would still love to hear any Democrat policymaker who uses the word existential threat. I would love to hear them. It should be on demand that they have to spell it. I'm quite convinced they can't. And because this is still the same party who can't really tell you what a woman is. You know, the timeline of events and the increasingly darker rhetoric that we experienced last night and in this document here, it indicates that we're heading toward a very ominous period in this country. You know, there's too many they continue to ignore the mounting evidence of this administration's sinister attempts to target the political opposition. And there's a lot of people who chalk this up as to midterm campaign rhetoric. If you're doing that, you're delusional. If people had scrutinized this document when it was first released over a year ago, perhaps we wouldn't be in this position. If the Biden administration continues to go down this trajectory that they're on, it's only a matter of time before former President Trump and his supporters, it's just a matter of time before they're officially designated as a domestic terrorist organization. Guys, we're just about out of time. I've got one final thing coming up. We're going to take another 60-second break, and we'll be right with you.
Over 40 years in Washington, and what has Joe Biden done for black people?
It doesn't matter whether or not they're the victims of society.
We already have a mayor. We don't need any more big shots.
Joe Biden said the N-word 13 times that day. Doesn't he seem a little too comfortable saying the N-word?
Those people.
You ain't black.
We have predators on our streets.
Catch the violent thugs.
Those people.
Thugs.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
For decades, Joe Biden has repeatedly defended racial segregation. He even warned that desegregating schools would force his kids to grow up in a racial jungle.
Away from my mother, your husband, our families.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
We already have a mayor. We don't need any more big shots.
Don't let Joe Biden take us for granted ever again. Join the Free Thinker Project, a movement for free thinkers by free thinkers. Learn more at freethinkerproject.org.
All right, guys. So again, thank you for carving out a piece of your Friday to join me in this Labor Day weekend. So I got some final thoughts that I want to pose to you about the speech from last night. First and foremost, I think Joe Biden is probably one of the last people on the fruited plain who should be commenting on America's soul. We know that Joe Biden is carried on a for-profit influence peddling scheme using his son and his brother cutouts for most of the latter stages of his political career. Hunter Biden's laptop makes it clear that Joe Biden's dealings with these shady foreign business entities, they are extensive. And it also makes clear that Joe Biden has repeatedly, provably, and brazenly lied about those dealings. We know that Joe Biden, faced with the revelations of those dealings when the laptop's comments came to light, he told a blatant and provable lie to the American people in a presidential debate when he alleged that the entire story of his son's laptop and the corrupt business dealings it revealed, it was Russia disinformation. Now, this is despite the fact that Tony Bobulinski, he's a retired military veteran, and he was a business partner of the Bidens. He specifically validated the damning material on the laptop, but where is Congress? They're very happy and very willing to parade hearsay people who weren't even there, the hearsay evidence. They want to listen to them, but a person who has direct and specific knowledge, they don't want to hear anything because it's their guy. What we know that Joe Biden's allies and the FBI, they sought to pressure social media platforms very successfully into suppressing the disinformation, the dissemination of this laptop story. We also know that the suppression, it had a major and perhaps even decisive effect on the 2020 election's outcome. We know that the laptop story suppression, it was not the first evidence of politicized corruption within the FBI. It sought to influence the 2016 election by working with the Clinton campaign to use a fraudulent dossier that was concocted by Clinton operatives as a pretext for spying on Donald Trump's campaign and his allies. And when that didn't work, it continued spying on an effort to entrap Trump and his advisors and effectively stage a coup d'etat against a duly elected president. We know that Joe Biden inherited the situation more or less under control at our southern border and proceeded to break faith with both his oath of office and the American people by throwing that border wide open. Over 3 million people have invaded America since Joe Biden's inauguration. We know that Joe Biden and his officials, they've repeatedly lied about every aspect of this invasion, including the declaration that the border is closed when it manifestly is not. We know the effect of this has been a tidal wave of Chinese fentanyl that's coming across our border and destroying countless of thousands of lives. And when you hear about people that are dying of these fentanyl overdoses, just to understand that in far more cases than not, those are not overdoses. Those are people who were taking what they thought was a non-fatal drug only to find them laced with fentanyl. And it's effectively caused them to be murdered by Mexican drug cartels who now control our southern border. Now, you're welcome to question whether those cartels have an outsized influence in Washington, which is to say that any influence at all. But in evaluating that question, feel free to ask yourself, what might look different if the cartels did have a direct line to the big guy, given the state of their current fortunes? We know that Joe Biden, he inherited an energy-independent America, and he proceeded to break the domestic industry. I'll get it out in a minute. That Joe, he inherited an energy-independent America, but he proceeded to break the domestic energy industry. And we know that between his pleas to Saudis and Venezuelans and Iranians and other foul actors for more oil imports, he does absolutely nothing to alleviate the pain that the American people have felt ever since this war on American energy began. Joe Biden, in fact, he's just another round in a federal courtroom, which 13 state attorneys and attorney generals, they secured a permanent injunction against his ban on offshore oil leasing. You would think that there would be no such ban, but this regime, this administration's solution to high gas prices is to force a transition of electric cars to an unwilling populace. And this is at a time when our power grid can hardly even sustain the current demand that it has. And now you want to put a bunch of cars on it? And once that transition takes place, if it ever does, there's no possibility that the grid will ever handle the demand. We also know there's a recognizable and unmistakable pattern with Team Biden in that it sabotages supply in this economy at every turn, while at the same time they're doing everything they can to goose demand. Inflation, obviously, it is the result, but it's more than that. America's becoming a nation of shortages and lowered expectations. Homer Simpson, of all people, once said that if you lower your standards, you increase your averages. That is what this administration is doing. Creating a lower standard of living. We know that one of the remedies for COVID-19, it offered Team Biden, which followed a pattern, again, of offering maximum restrictions of individuals of Americans, supposedly to defend against the virus. They didn't do anything to stop the spread or even to promote public health in any meaningful way. All destruction, all the time. We know that identity politics in America, it's out of control. Americans are increasingly, they scream for relief. This regime does everything it can to make things worse and to induce everyone on the intersectional totem pole to shout about their victimization. Team Biden, it's unceasing promotion of the LGBTQIABCDEFG agenda, even in places like the United States military, where it's a threat to national security. It's also worth noting that we know from the diary of Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley, that he engaged in what she characterizes as an inappropriate behavior of a too close to sexual for comfort nature with her as a child. Now, giving rise to a highly reasonable suspicion that he might just be a child predator. And no, there's no reason to give Biden the benefit of the doubt given his public behavior around other people's kids. That's been captured on camera multiple times. Today's left, it might be seeking to detach a popular stigma of the minor attracted persons. We're going to cover that next Wednesday. These sexual predators, they're rebranding these perverts, and they're calling them minor attracted persons. That way it don't sound so bad. But it hardly papers over the fact that Joe Biden, he lacks a moral standard to lecture a single one of us about our nation's soul. The FBI has been tasked to persecute and harass journalists who've come into possession of that particular diary. It only magnifies the problem of Team Biden's moral deficiency as it relates to judging other people. The soul of America is increasingly torn apart and is in desperate need of healing. It needs a center point from which that healing can begin. And its center has always been the Judeo-Christian moral base from which this country was constructed. Even if you're not an atheist, you can still abide by the same ideas and of the Judeo-Christian scripture and still magically be the same good person you are today. But Joe Biden and his handlers, they're hard at work tearing us apart from the base. They're just as they're tearing out our market economy in shreds, you know, to shreds in favor of a China-dominated socialist globalist utopian model. While at the same time, they're denouncing every attempt to push back against their agenda as a threat to democracy. Pay attention to the use of the word "our" in that phrase. A threat to our democracy. It has a very specific meaning. Joe Biden and the cabal that he represents, they don't use that word in the sense that you and I use that word, that democracy belongs to the nation. They're saying it only belongs to them. They see things in a far more limited way. They see democracy as their democracy, which is under threat. And that's why we're parading this doltering dimwit out in front of our network cameras to prattle on about the soul of a nation that he hasn't given a shit about his entire political career. This is a guy, now you heard the videos, you've heard his own jargon, but yet somehow, some way, there are people that are still saying that Joe Biden, he cares about our soul. Well, I don't know. If Joe Biden cares about our soul, you know, and that's his argument. He cares about our soul. I can't wait to hear him answer about the souls of the unborn that he allowed to get ripped. Not for a medical necessity, not because it needed to happen, but because it wanted to happen, because children are inconvenient. We're losing our future. And this administration, they are on full display as of last night. If you have not seen the video, watch the video. Pay attention. Listen to the language. Understand the battle lines have been drawn. The targets have been set. The parameters are in the way. While you're in the business of, you know, if you have a long weekend, man, go find the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. It's not a very long document, but it's a hell of a read. The worst thing that this administration, that this government could ever have land in their laps is a well-educated populace. Friends, educate yourselves beyond headlines. Vote with your minds, not with what everyone tells you, not because it's political. If there's a Democrat in your district who lines up more closely with your Republican beliefs, then vote that Democrat. We need to start voting people in office who truly align with us. Damn the political party. Damn the political loyalty. Vote your heart. But understand what you're voting for. And also, even more so, understand that what you're voting for is going to have long-lasting repercussions, because our grandchildren at this point, they're going to be paying off the debts that we've ran up just in this past 2 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're wrapping it up. That does it for me. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you guys joining the show that seeks to not only provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to that inconvenient truth that so many people for some reason refuse to see. Today, it's MAGA Republicans. Tomorrow, it will be all Republicans. The day after that, it'll be Republicans and Independents. The day after that, it's going to be the Republicans, Independents, and the Democrat members who don't follow along. Before long, we're all going to be domestic terrorists. So I guess that's a good thing, because if we're all domestic terrorists, then none of us are. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. As always, ladies and gentlemen, do not let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. And if you see a first responder, give them a high five, a handshake, and tell them you love them and you appreciate what they're doing, because they're still grinding in a very thankless environment as well. Ladies and gentlemen, get off the internet, get off social media, get off the news, and spend this Labor Day weekend with the ones you love, because if you haven't figured it out by now, that time may be shorter than we realize, because once we're all considered terrorists, I'll see you at the internment camps. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.